Let's begin to read at the opening verse of John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then answered they him, What man is he that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today we're into a very exciting story, John chapter 5, the man who was healed at the pool of Bethesda. Well, in fact, he wasn't actually healed in the pool. He was healed by the Lord Jesus beside the pool, because the poor man was so paralyzed that he could never reach the pool in time when the water was stirred by an angel. This is a marvelous story, but it all adds up to one message, that we need the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And of course, that's the burden of my ministry, to point you and all who listen in to the Savior, to trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And if you have not done that, then you are very like this paralyzed man, waiting on the water to stir with the faint hope of ever getting there in time. And there are many that are in a false religious system that are living in the expectations of that's merely empty promises. And I hope today that you will recognize that when you trust the promises of Christ, the Lord who is God, who is truth, who is faithful and cannot lie, who will give to you this eternal gift of salvation, that it is real, genuine. You can take this to the bank. You can take it to God the Father. You can stand on the judgment day with the absolute confidence that you are saved, that all your sins are gone, that there is no more payment to make, and that you are a sure, certain candidate for heaven. May that be your portion. So stay tuned with us as today we let the Bible speak. Father, we praise thee for this opportunity to open your word and to learn these great events of the life of our Lord Jesus. Oh God, we thank thee that they are recorded here, that they are for us, that we might learn and comprehend the grace that is in our Lord. Oh God, open our hearts, open our minds, teach us today what these things mean. And I pray that you'll give us joy in our souls as we learn of the fullness that is in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Give us the Holy Spirit to hearer and preacher. Give power in our souls, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. John 5, in these 16 verses, deal with this impotent man. That means he was immobile. He was paralyzed. He was a man who could not move his body. And there he was sitting by this pool in Bethesda. Now, pools in Israel or Jerusalem were common things. They were for refreshing on hot days. They were places to be out of the sun. And of course, there were places of community as well. And they were very popular and very common. But this one was more of a hospital than it was of a place of fun and entertainment. And the poor gathered because there was this strange, frequent event. And we're not sure how frequent. Some thought that it happened annually. Some thought it happened perhaps in very different periods of time in between. But we're told in this passage that an angel would come down and ruffle the waters, and that would be the sign that the healing miracle would take place, and the first and only one who would get into the water would be healed. Now, when you think about it, it is a most strange event. And if it wasn't recorded in the Bible, but some man came running up the street and told you this story, you would have a hard time with it. You would have difficulty saying, well, what are you talking about? Are you sure? Well, what do you mean an angel came and stirred the water? Angels? Well, let's be careful here, because God is the creator of angels. And angels have a very huge part in God's interaction in this world. And they have appeared in many, many forms and ways, different messages. That's what the Bible word angel means, messenger. And some have even tried to deny this was not an angel. This was a human messenger who would come and stir the waters. But I don't think that's necessary. Let's not rule out the activity of angels. Angels appeared at the birth of our Lord Jesus. They were the announcers of his birth to the shepherds. Angels have appeared to release Peter out of prison. This is not uncommon. The event is certainly singular. I don't know of any other event like this where people were sitting around a pool waiting for a stirring in the water, watching carefully, and the first one in was healed, and it must have worked, because there was a high degree of expectation. It must have been something that really happened. It wasn't a false hope. Mind you, for this poor man who was impotent or paralyzed, it was a faint hope, because there he was sitting, and time again, this event happened, but alas, he couldn't get in, certainly not quickly enough to be the first and therefore to be healed. And so what we see around this pool was not only high expectancy, but an awful lot of despair, an awful lot of hopelessness that this could possibly happen and work to me. Now, in this world, we have a lot of such despair. I wonder what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, the poor ye shall have with you always. Is the world not supposed to get better and better with learning, education, discipline, technology? Is this world not to be a better place? And yet there are multitudes living in poverty, living in misery, living in ill health and infirmities of all kinds. And you don't have to go to a third world country. Here in Canada, in not only our major cities, but in every town, even in the prairies, places it would be unthinkable, you will find people living outdoors in poverty and in a great degree of despair. But there's someone else I'm thinking of today, and that is the religious zealot. The person who is very religious and is looking to religion and looking to some form of church life to answer the burdens and the aches of their hearts, but they never find it. I'm thinking of the poor Roman Catholic person who constantly goes to confessional. You know that, well, I'm not sure they're always black, but every time I seem to see one or see one depicted, it's the black box. And inside in one section is the priest. And in the other section behind the curtain is the person confessing. And time again, the confession is made. Sins are divulged. And a remedy is prescribed. It might be indulgences, paying money. It might be penance. And here is the difference between biblical Christianity and the error of penance means work and payment. Penance means do something yourself to repair the damage. And of course, it is a constant circular event and constantly returning to the same confessional with more rituals and more indulgences or penances to perform. And it's just a vicious circle. And it becomes eventually a place of despair. And you ask the most devout and the most avid religionist, and you said, have you now got peace with God? Have you now got hope of heaven? I'm not sure. Have I confessed enough? Have I done enough? Is my penance adequate? Have my money payments been enough? And so there is this hopelessness. And that's the application I want to take from this event that we see here of this impotent man with the high expectation of one day being healed, but it never happens. And it's not until the Lord Jesus comes into the scene and he is right there and he doesn't help him into the water. He just gives him the command, take up thy bed and walk. And there he is perfectly healed. So what does this tell us about the gospel that we preach and the need of men? That without Christ there is hopelessness. That's just how it is. It's as simple as that. Without Christ, until a sinner meets the Savior and hears the command that you're healed, forgiven, saved, redeemed, washed in the blood, and made ready for heaven, until that happens, whatever your religion, whatever your practices and traditions, you are a hopeless soul. You'll notice here, and I've pretty much painted the picture, that there was hopelessness in the system. The whole system meant that one person may be healed, but alas for all the others. And when might this happen again? We're not even told. We're not even told when it might happen again. If there was a schedule and you could look up like a bus stop and you could say, well, the next event is going to be on a certain day, and then you can sit here and hope for the event. But they didn't know. And so as one person might be helped, all the others are just plunged into the depths of despair. And this poor man said in verse 7, I have no man when the water is troubled, to put me into the water. There was no one considerate enough to come and help him. And many religions are like that. They promise a lot and they deliver nothing. They claim to be some way of intermediary with God, but it is but empty religion. And I will add to that, that's empty Christless religion. And it keeps dangling people on a string, as it were. And it offers recovery and restoration, but it doesn't heal the soul. And if I may, to prove my point, stay with the practices in the Roman Catholic system, you have the priests, you have the church, you have the ceremonies, even the repetition of the Mass, and then, of course, the confessional. And you have the burden thrown back on the poor, struggling soul with a burden of sin, and they are told to go and do and pay money. False churches, false religion, only produce bigger sinners who are more skillful hypocrites. You might say that's very tough language. You might say, boy, our preacher's really got off onto a roll here today, and he's trying to paint a very black picture, and he's trying maybe to say that unless you're a free Presbyterian, you'll not get to heaven. No, that's not, certainly not what we read here in John 5, and not what I believe, and not what I preach on a consistent basis. I am here to prove the point that if you do not know the forgiveness of sins in your own soul, if you do not have the miracle of the new birth in your heart, if you have not come to the Lord Jesus personally, and if it's not working in your life, well, you are lost. This man was hopeless until the Lord came to his help. And you are forever lost without a Savior. And I have looked at a number of spurious religions in the world and found that they are terribly wanting. Look at verse 14. You'll see here what Jesus did for this man. Here's the difference. He didn't tell him to go and do. He told him to go and what not to do. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Only Jesus can command that. Whom Jesus Christ sets free, whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. Now, there was hopelessness in this own man, not only in the system, but in his own intentions. See the Lord enter the house of mercy and speak to this hopeless case. Wilt thou be made whole? And, of course, that's why he was there. That's why he was there. He was serious about his own healing, but he hadn't a hope. And for all those years, he had been waiting and waiting. It's not intentions that saves a man's soul. It's the intervention and the power of the Lord. And so, until you have a personal faith and relationship with the Lord Jesus, until you meet the Savior, you're lost. Hopeless and helpless. The other thing I notice here, that he was hopeless for 38 years. My, that's a long time. 38 years. That's longer than I have lived in Canada. 38 years of hopelessness, repeated despair. People ask, what is the mark of insanity? The mark of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, and it feels, and you keep looking for a different result. That's insanity. This poor man was therefore mad. He was mad, trusting and waiting for this angel and this moving of the water that he might be healed, doing the same thing over and over and over, and it doesn't work. That's what man-made religion produces. People go to church, they go to mass, they go to the confessional box, and of course we can broaden it out to other man-made religions and all the religions of the world, and it's all cyclical, and they continue to be steeped in the practices and the ways of sin, and they follow the world. The man-made religions of this world can marry the world with their religion. And they just live like the devil, they live for the world, and yet they've got this attachment to religion. But it doesn't work. It doesn't deliver. And unless you are set free, and unless your heart is changed, then you are continuing in that hopeless. So take it as a given that if religion is not working, then it's not the gospel. It's not what Christ has done for sinners. Now, the Lord Jesus is the only true hope, because all who come to him receive a complete, perfect cure. Verse 9, look at this statement. And immediately, the man was made whole. There was no playing around. These are plain words. You can't take anything else out of them. This guy walked home. The man who couldn't move, he was immovable for all these years. Now he was moving, and he was picking up his bed and on his way home. And you can't argue with the facts. The facts of this event, it was public. How many were there and witnessed to this? Wow, this was a public event, and you cannot argue with it. And even the Jews and Christ haters, my, they had their aim and their target on the Lord's back after this. From this point, they wanted to slay him, to kill him. Why? Because he had healed them. It actually happened. They couldn't argue their way out of it. And you can't argue against the facts. Now, this complete cure of the man's body, it shouts far and wide that gospel conversion is the power of God and not of man. And a sinner's salvation is just like this man's healing. There's a miraculous element in divine power in saving a soul. You see, regeneration is sudden, and it's complete. I'm talking now about the miracle of the new birth, what Christ does for every one of his believing people when he gives us a new heart. Regeneration is that life-giving principle to a dead soul. Now, you cannot be half dead and half alive. You cannot be in a car accident and the ambulance driver come to the hospital and report, oh, this person's half dead, half alive. You can't say that. You're either dead or you're living. You're either breathing or you're not. There's either oxygen going to your brain or there's none. Your vitals are showing life or they're not. You're dead or you're alive. And so it is with the gospel. You're either a Christian born of the Spirit or you're still dead in sins. You can't be half and half. And that's what man-made religion produces. They try to make people a little bit better, and they think they can be satisfied with that. But it doesn't change the life. It doesn't turn them from death on to life. And whatever you might explain, the miracle of the new birth is sudden. It's immediate. That's the word used here in verse 9. And it's complete. And so it is all of God. That's the miracle of regeneration.
Patiently, Jesus is calling you. Let nothing stand in your way. Think of the cost, eternally lost, if you won't let him in. There's a line
I hope you got the message and it applies to your heart. And if you are in a religion where you are constantly doing the routine but not coming to the very assurance of salvation, then it is a very empty religion. What you need is personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and to enjoy all the life that flows out of His life into your soul, just like the life that comes out of the vine into the branches. And I assure you that when you come by faith and trust Jesus as the Lord of your life and place your eternal salvation in His hands, pleading His salvation, that you will be saved and you will know it. And then you will go on to show it because you will be truly changed. This is a heart-changing and life-changing salvation. All things, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You cannot live the old life anymore because you are a new creation. And that's the power of the gospel at work in the believer's heart. Stay tuned now as we come to our closing announcement. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.